What's up, everybody? Welcome back into our second episode of our AFC West Ultimate Division crossover series. I'm Cody Rourke, host of Locked On Broncos. I'm joined today by Daniel Wade, host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, and your boy Q, host of the Locked On Raiders podcast. And we got a question coming in from Ryan Tracy, host of the Locked On Chiefs podcast, all in today's jam-packed episode of the show. Very excited, ladies and gentlemen, because we've been breaking things down. We've been taking a look at the broad scope of the entire AFC West. And Q, Dan, how you guys doing today?
Doing good, man. Doing good. This has been fun so far. Let's keep this party rolling.
Yeah, man. I got some good questions for you. I'm excited to see how you feel about everything. I mean, there's a lot to talk about with the Broncos. I'm excited to get into it.
All righty. Well, today's episode is an overview on the Broncos 2019 season. And fellas, I'm going to open it up to you guys in terms from a Chargers and a Raiders perspective.
Well, Cody, first thing first, obviously, Emmanuel Sanders gets traded during the season, goes over to San Francisco, ends up in the Super Bowl, doesn't win it, but ends up in the Super Bowl, became a very valuable weapon for San Francisco. So now Denver has Cortland Sutton, obviously, as a big-time playmaker, but how do they go by replacing Emmanuel Sanders, who they traded off early in the season in 2019?
That's a great question, Q. You know, they're going to be taking a look at the NFL draft. There's some speed. And my worry, Q, is that the guy I think the Broncos want, and I think that John Gruden, the Raiders, might look at him as well, and that could either be CeeDee Lamb or Henry Ruggs from Alabama. The Broncos need a speed element. We were just talking about it, you know, Kansas City and yesterday's crossover show about the fact that they have so much speed and they have all these weapons. Well, the AFC West needs to load up on weapons as well. I think the Chargers have some and Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. The Broncos have Cortland Sutton. When they lost Emmanuel Sanders, they lost one of those evident playmakers, and the second leading receiver for Denver in 2019 was Noah Fant, and he wasn't anywhere close to where Cortland Sutton was, who broke over 1,100 yards receiving on 73 receptions, 6 touchdowns in his sophomore campaign in the NFL. It was a special year for him, but I think their focus is going to be looking at the NFL draft for a possible speed burner, a guy in the slot that could create that matchup nightmare for opposing defenses.
And there's some guys out there that should be able to fill that. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Royce Freeman, second on the remaining receivers on that team with 43 catches. That's not very good as far as the receiving options go. But my question is about Drew Lock, because I think that's what 2019 was about for the Broncos, you know, potentially finding that quarterback that they've been looking for so long. So what was your assessment of Drew Lock's first season?
Well, his first debut actually came against the Chargers, and I know we were watching that game, and I know that was a rough one at the end in terms of that Hayward pass interference call. Was there? Was there not? Did he get there too early? And it just kind of showcased Drew Lock's arm talent a little bit. Now, he opened up that game against L.A., his first possession, his first series. He's kind of thrown off of his back foot, the jitters, the butterflies, but then all of a sudden, he throws it to the right side on a fade route with Casey Hayward in coverage. Cortland Sutton, he catches it for a touchdown, one-handed, and goes up at that point, and the Broncos had some momentum. Then he was also able to find him once again. And, I think for Drew Lock in his first season, he went 4-1 as the Broncos starter, and he played some tough teams. You go L.A., and then the second week, you know, you're playing against the Houston Texans on the road. Then the third week, you get blown out, in a sense, 20-3 in a blizzard game against Kansas City. Then you beat Detroit, and then you close out the Week 17 regular season with a very impressive win against the now Las Vegas Raiders at that point. We saw some flashes from Drew Lock, enough for him to be the guy in 2020 as the full-time starting quarterback, but I think he still has a lot more to prove. He's going to have a whole entire offensive offseason with Pat Shurmur, who came in as the new OC this year, Mike Shula working with him as his quarterback coach. I think the Broncos' emphasis with him in 2020, you got to take it one game at a time.
Well, I got another good question for you, and that's about Vic Fangio. That's a guy that I've been a big fan of. I think he's a hell of a defensive coordinator. He's done great things in the NFL. Didn't really get off to a very good start as a head coach of the Broncos, his first stint as a head coach in the NFL, period. How did he turn things around? Because I know he did. I know he got better as the season went along. But what do you think? Where do you think Vic Fangio was able to learn from and improve as a head coach that kind of turned things around for the Broncos towards the end of the season?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because the Broncos started off Q 0-4, and they lost a heartbreaker week 2 against the Chicago Bears. Many people, and even Colin Coward, was outspoken the fact that he feels the Broncos got screwed out of a call, a roughing the passer call on Mitch Trubisky that obviously led them down the field, and they were able to kick a game-winning field goal and lose that game against Chicago, against his former team that he's a defensive coordinator of in a hard-fought game. You have a couple mistakes against Green Bay in week 3, your week 1 opener on the road against Oakland. you don't have as much success offensively. You get things going late. And then Josh Jacobs in the run game got things going. And then Jacksonville, you lose another heartbreaker. Bradley Chubb tears his ACL. Vic Fangio sort of figured things out a little bit. When the Broncos were 0-4, going into that week 5 matchup against the Chargers on the road, he said, you know what, screw it. We're going to move guys around, and I want to see what guys can get out of these positions. He moved Mike Purcell to nose tackle. He bumped Shelby Harris over to the defensive end position, and he also inserted Alexander Johnson into the starting lineup at inside linebacker alongside Todd Davis. And then all of a sudden, the Broncos defense started getting into a groove a little bit more. They had another guy playing in the nickel, and they were able to move Kareem Jackson back to the rightful strong safety position where Justin Simmons roamed as the free guy. And they had some matchups going on, and defensively, they started to get some momentum. I would say right there, right then, is when Vic Fangio started to figure things out a little bit. For him, it was a tough transition cue, being in the box the majority of his career to being on the sideline and having to call a defense.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty tough transition. I thought, I mean, especially with how bad they started, he did a pretty good job towards the end of the season. I think that's my question as far as last season is, what part of the turnaround that led to them, you know, going 4-1 down the stretch? Do you want to continue see going forward for them that they can potentially take into the 2020 season and build off that success?
Yeah, you know, I think they can take a lot off of how they finished the season. And John Elway mentioned it. This was the first time in quite some time, and after the Peyton Manning years, that the Broncos actually finished the season on a strong note. There were times where they started the season off strong, and then they finished very poorly. They built up some momentum. They have a very young team. I believe they're the third youngest team right now in the National Football League, and they have the youngest offense right now in the NFL. And it's expected to get a lot younger once they part ways with Ron Leary at right guard, and they add in maybe a speedy wide receiver in this year's NFL draft. I think the biggest focus point is they're just trying to build off of some of the momentum that they had last year. They started creating a little bit more excitement back in Denver because Broncos fans, they've just been discouraged. They've been kind of suspect about the fact that you know, the team has struggled. So now that they're doing a little bit well with Drew Lock, and do they buy into the excitement? Do they buy into the hype? There's some hesitation by Broncos fans, a lot of skepticism. But I'd say that is trending more in the direction of actual excitement. The Broncos might have their franchise quarterback, but I think through 5 games, Dan, it's way too early to tell, but with that young defense that they have together, some off-season questions regarding their defense and guys potentially leaving, guys they may bring in, I'd say right now there's a lot of question marks for this Broncos team heading into the offseason. You know, I think you guys make some very valid points, and I look forward to getting into a little bit of a deeper dive as to where the Broncos may end up coming up here in just a moment. But I got to remind you guys, if you guys missed yesterday's crossover episode, don't forget to check it out on Locked On Broncos, Locked On Chargers, Locked On Raiders, and Locked On Chiefs. All week long, we're bringing you an AFC West perspective with all the hosts of every team here on the Locked On NFL Network.
All right, guys. Well, thanks again for listening to the AFC West Ultimate Division crossover. But before we get back into it, I have to tell you guys about our favorite car dealership at Metro Infinity, which you can find right off the 210 in Monrovia. If you haven't already, you have to swing by their brand new multi-million dollar facility and check out the amazing selection of new and used cars. They're the only dealer in California that is family owned, and they've been in business for over 25 years. One of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity is that if you don't like going into the dealership, it's no problem at all. They will bring the new car and the paperwork to your home or office and complete the whole transaction there. They take pride in not being your typical car dealer where it takes hours to buy a car. They don't play games, and they want their customers to have a luxury car buying experience. Trust me, these guys get it. Right now, you can even save money by going to Metro Infinity and telling them that Locked On Chargers sent you over there. You will get an extra $500 off any new car. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or at MetroInfinity.com. If you or anyone you know are in the market for any new car, please give Metro Infinity a chance to earn your business.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back here once again discussing the AFC West, and the Broncos are the team of the day. We had just talked about maybe some of the things the Broncos need to do this offseason in terms of looking at some talent to replace where Emmanuel Sanders left that void on the offensive side of the ball. We talked about Vic Fangio's growth in his first year as head coach. And fellas, where are we headed to next when it comes to the Broncos from a Raiders and a Chargers perspective?
Well, first, I just kind of want to know about John Elway and where his mindset is at right now and where it needs to be at going into 2020 as far as moving forward. Is he kind of on a hot seat? Is he still loved in Denver as his role in the front office, or does he need to have a better draft? Because in my opinion, the draft in 2019 was good, but it wasn't great. If that's a good way to describe it. And I just want to know, do they need to have a really, really good draft, like almost a great draft in 2020?
I think that's the question, to be honest with you. A lot of people are looking at this year's draft class. When you look at wide receiver, you look at quarterback, you look at defense, it might be one of the most loaded draft classes in recent history in the NFL draft. And obviously, it's going to be a big one, Q, because it's going to be in Las Vegas. And I'm not really a big fan of how they plan to use a little bit of a boat at the fountain to be able to get guys all the way across to the stage. But I think the biggest thing is that for John Elway, you got to be able to not reach for a position. He said it in this offseason, as soon as the Broncos season ended, he said, we're going to take a look at the free agency period. We're going to take a look at our salary cap, where the Broncos are expected to have about $62 million, possibly $80 million if they make some cuts that are anticipated with Flacco and Ron Leary. But he said that we want to take care of some of our biggest needs in free agency in terms of maybe we're areas where we view we have holes. And then in the NFL draft, it gives us the opportunity at pick 15, or if there's a guy that the Broncos might be interested in that might go a little bit sooner, they have the draft capital, I believe 12 total picks in this year's draft to be able to move up if they wanted to. They have three third round picks, so they have some ammunition to be able to move. And I think for the Broncos, John Elway had mentioned that they want to be able to select the best player available for their team, and rather than reaching for a position in the NFL draft. And I think that's a great approach for John Elway and the Broncos. And look, I'd be very happy if they go with a speedy wide receiver, because I think that that's something that they desperately need with Drew Lock. He's a young quarterback with a big arm, and Cortland Sutton seeing a lot of double teams. You got to have another guy to open things up for you.
And then I guess sticking with the draft and along that same point, with the Broncos going into the draft and obviously so much pressure being on John Elway, if wide receiver is where you're looking at in the first round, where would you see the second biggest need is as far as how you think this draft is accommodated? Like you were talking about, it's strong in certain areas. Where is the second position you would want them addressing if wide receiver is the first?
You know, that's a tough question. A lot of Broncos fans, they want an offensive lineman. I don't think, you know, a lot of Broncos fans are upset with Garrett Bowles, but really he played pretty good from the midway part of the season all the way through the end of the season. He improved drastically, and that was more of a product of them inserting in a mobile quarterback who gets the ball out of his hands quickly instead of Joe Flacco, who was almost like his feet were stuck in cement at the time. I think that made a big difference, and obviously he's approaching the fifth-year option. That's something coming up for the Broncos and Garrett Bowles. I think they're going to pick it up, and he's obviously going to be a part of them in 2020. It's going to be a big year for him, but I don't think the Broncos should go with an offensive lineman in rounds two. As a matter of fact, I think really eyeing the Chris Harris Jr. situation, whether or not he returns or not, is a big question. I mean, it's about 50-50 that he stays, 50-50 that he leaves. He's going to command, he's going to test the free agency market, he's going to see what teams are going to throw at him. I think cornerback becomes the second biggest need for this Broncos team to address. They could do that in free agency. There's guys like Byron Jones, but you know, if you want to develop a young guy, which Vic Fangio loves working with young secondary guys, Ed Donatell, there's a lot of guys that I feel like the Broncos could potentially take a look at. Obviously, Jeffrey Okuda is not going to be a guy that they're going to be in the market for unless they get a speedy burner guy, maybe in free agency, which is unlikely, but maybe taking a look a little bit later on in the NFL draft. Lamar Jackson out of Nebraska, maybe he can be one of those guys, in my opinion, that could be a good prototype for a Vic Fangio-style defense.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned free agency kind of briefly, because that happens before the draft does. You know, free agency opens up before the draft. So how do you expect the Broncos, or how would you like the Broncos to attack free agency, not only for guys that are outside of the organization, but obviously guys that are in the organization, like a Chris Harris Jr.?
Well, I think the first primary, John Elway mentioned it, they're going to take care of their in-house guys. They want to look at all their guys that want to be back as Broncos, and they're going to focus on that. So obviously Justin Simmons is priority number one, due for a contract extension more than likely. We're going to see something in the 5-year, maybe $72 million range, about maybe $14.5 million per year, or they might franchise tag him at this point in time. I mean, all these options are on the table, but there is no way Justin Simmons is going to be on another NFL team next year. He's going to stay in Denver. That's what sources have told me. They're very high on Simmons. He's the corner piece for this Broncos franchise going forward as a young player. But also, you take a look at defensive end. Shelby Harris is going to be a free agent. Derek Wolfe, longtime Bronco, is going to be a free agent. And both guys had productive years at the defensive end position. But Shelby Harris just signed with Drew Rosenhaus, which usually means that, hey, we're going to be pushing for the big time money here. And I don't know if the Broncos are going to be willing to pay him maybe in the ballpark range of what he wants. But Derek Wolfe is another guy that on his last contract, they paid him about $9.4 million per year. He wants to stay in Denver. He wants to play with Von Miller. He's a very vocal guy. He's an important leader on that Broncos defensive side of the ball, and he played really well this year. He had 7 sacks in 12 games and missed the remainder of the season. He actually went out in the Chargers game, Drew Lock's debut, on a dislocated elbow. There was a false start penalty. The whistle was, you know, it was blown dead. It was loud at the stadium. They didn't stop, and he dislocated his elbow, and he was out the remainder of the season. So a big bummer there, but he's not going to take a pay cut, and he also doesn't want to command top dollar. He says he wants to be paid something fair. I think the Broncos' focus at free agency is taking care of their in-house guys that they want part of the franchise for years going forward.
Well, that's a good transition, because this one's a little tougher, because I know Chris Harris is a guy that is a huge fan favorite there, and he's going to get paid this offseason. So I guess my question isn't whether you want to bring him back or whether they should bring him back after the season that he had. I mean, he is coming off of a pretty down season, 67.1 completed passes against him for 731 yards, 112.3 passer rating when they were targeting Chris Harris, and 4 touchdowns allowed, which can be a misleading stat. But coming from a team that knows how it is to, you know, have to part ways with some fan favorites, what do you think the Broncos should do with Chris Harris?
Well, I think that the Broncos should pay him. He's been a guy, he came in as an undrafted rookie free agent and rose into an underdog superstar role with the team, and he really excelled in the slot. In 2019, Chris Harris Jr. didn't get to play the slot position because Bryce Callahan was out. He had a screw that was already broken in his foot that he had surgery on back when he was playing for the Bears back in December of 2018, and unfortunately, it didn't heal properly. He had to have another operation. So Chris Harris Jr. had to play on the outside, which we haven't seen him do a lot of. The Broncos ran primarily a cover 3, cover 4 style of defense. And there were times where he just struggled. And, you know, on the outside plays, and especially like that, sometimes going against bigger receivers, you know, like Mike Williams, for example, or Keenan Allen. That's one of the matchups he followed in all the Chargers matchups. I think looking at it from this standpoint is that Chris is going to command some money from some other teams. I think for his biggest thing, from what I've been told from a representative close to Chris Harris Jr., is he wants to play for a team that's going to use him in the slot. He wants to play where he's been successful his entire NFL career. That's going to be one of the biggest factors in terms of also money, in terms of being paid as a top cornerback in the National Football League. So yeah, it's definitely going to be tough. I think they should pay him. Will they pay him though? I think that is a big question that right now is not looking very likely, considering the fact they have all these other pieces they got to take care of with Simmons and guys like Will Parks and some of the other guys there. And I think the Broncos are really looking at that very hard as March 18th approaches. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue our conversation coming up here in just a moment. What's the biggest question for the Broncos heading into 2020? Also, maybe how the Broncos might finish in 2020 coming up from your boy Q and Dan, host of Locked On Raiders, host of Locked On Chargers, coming up here in just a moment. But I got to remind you guys that if you're not already subscribed to the Locked On NFL podcast hosted by Matt Williamson and Brian Peacock, you guys got to check it out today. It's got the in-depth analysis of every storyline across the National Football League, from the NFL draft, from free agency, from the Kansas City Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, and for Brian, who hosts the Lockdown 49ers podcast, what's next for San Francisco, and is Jimmy Garoppolo the guy going forward? You can get these answers and much more on the Lockdown NFL podcast. All right, gentlemen, jumping into our final portion here on today's episode of our Locked On AFC West crossover, Locked On Chargers, Locked On Chiefs, and Locked On Raiders represented here on today's episode. And gentlemen, I think looking for the Broncos, we answered some of these big questions for Denver specifically coming into the 2020 season about free agency, the NFL draft. But there's some other questions I think that this team has to answer going into the season. And if you, from an outside perspective, were sitting at the NFL Network desk looking at the Denver Broncos, what other questions do you guys have?
Well, really, I mean, what are the expectations? You know, I mean, the Denver Broncos finished off 2019 on a high note. They finished off the season looking like they were trending forward. Have some guys coming back from injury that's obviously going to help their season in 2020. But what are reasonable expectations? What should the fans expect from the Broncos in 2020? Should they be a team? We talked about it earlier that, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs will probably be the division champions, but should the Denver Broncos be a wild card team? Should they be that wild card team? Or do you think that they're not there yet? What are the reasonable expectations for 2020 for the Broncos?
Well, I think I'm going to take a word from John Elway. You know, he says he wants the Broncos to get back to the playoffs, maybe contend for a wild card. But he says we got to find a way to beat Kansas City within the division first and foremost. And I also think that the Broncos need to focus their attention on the Raiders and the Chargers. Now, I know there's a lot of questions right now with the Chargers, not knowing what their quarterback situation is going to be like here. Obviously, talking about this in February, it's going to be a lot different when we have the same exact crossover coming up in June. But I think that the Raiders, they're building, and they have a very talented young team, a very talented young defense. Questions regarding Derek Carr, which obviously we'll answer on tomorrow's episode of our Locked On AFC West crossover. But the Broncos got to focus on themselves first. They got to take care of the little bits of details. They got to improve on the offensive side of the ball. I think for them, improving their offensive productivity. They only scored 16 points per game last year, not enough to get it done. They were a top 10 defense holding their opponents in terms of scoring defenses. And then outside of that, they got to find a way to convert on third down and in the red zone, areas where they were dead last, bottom ranked in the National Football League if they can improve on this, look, I think the Broncos can maybe be a wild card team. You know, just looking at their schedule, they finished 7-9 in 2019, and there were a couple games they missed out on. If they were able to score a few more points or maybe get one or two more stops, I mean, we might be having a different conversation here, because they could have made the playoffs in 2019, despite the fact that it seemed so unrealistic at the time. I think that the Broncos got to really just take it one game at a time, and I hate to be as cliche as that, but I think when the teams focus too far ahead on, you go, okay, so here's the first part of the season, what's the bye week, who are you playing after the bye? I know the NFL schedule is not out yet, but the Broncos got to take it one game at a time with Drew Lock, specifically with him, because he's a young quarterback. The microscope is going to be so big on him, and rightfully so, it is for the quarterback position. But I think for Vic Fangio and his coaching staff, they're very experienced, and I think that they're going to have this team primed to compete in 2020. I think they're going to be more competitive and more fun to watch than they've been in the last couple of years.
Well, when you have a good defense, it seems to work out for you that way. It seems to work out for you that way. I mean, when you have a good defense, you stay in all these games, the one possession games and all those things, you stay in more of those games and you can have it turn out the way you want, more likely. But my question is more just about the offensive identity of this team, just because, especially with Vic Fangio and their, you know, history of having these good defenses, it seems like the defense is always going to work out for the Broncos, and they're always going to be able to field a team that has a pretty good defense. But the offense is what has been in flux over the last few seasons. So going into this offseason where they're going to add a lot of pieces, so we don't know what the personnel is going to look like yet, but what kind of offensive identity are the Broncos going to have in 2019 or 2020?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting because Pat Shurmur is the new offensive coordinator. I mean, they fired him. They fired Rich Scangarello, their offensive coordinator from last year in his first season, during that Chiefs and a Houston Texans game where the Chiefs were up 24-0. And then right after that news announced, they went on a big time run and they brought in Pat Shurmur. He was the odds on favorite. And he's done a lot of transforming of quarterbacks and of offenses wherever he's been in his career, bringing in Mike Shula as the quarterback coach. I think this team's identity, because you look at a Pat Shurmur style of offense, it's a lot of 11 personnel, three wide receiver sets. You're going to see a lot of guys, some vertical shots downfield, but I think a balanced run game and also utilizing your tailback as a receiver out of the backfield. I still think this Broncos team needs to build on the run with Phillip Lindsay. I mean, he's the first undrafted player in NFL history to amass one back-to-back 1,000-yard rushing seasons, and he got it done in 2019, and I think that's going to be the goal for 2020, but I don't think he could be the primary guy in terms of being a bell cow type guy. I think Royce Freeman, he battled a lot of injuries in 2019. This team is good when they can run the football really well, and they can play controlled defense, which they've done a very phenomenal job of, and in games that they've won, they were able to run the ball well, and they were able to play very stout, aggressive defense, and that's been a formula. We talked about it yesterday in the crossover in terms of how do you beat Kansas City. We all agreed that the formula is a run game and also stout defense where you can get stops. I think for the Broncos, that becomes their identity. And if you evolve Drew Lock as a passer with some of these weapons, look, I think the opportunities are endless for where this team can go. And I think the Broncos have some optimism, some excitement, but they got to obviously translate that excitement into something real and tangible on the football field.
What does it look like for the defensive line for the Broncos? You got Bradley Chubb. He's coming back from a torn ACL. You mentioned Derek Wolfe there. And then also obviously, Von Miller. He's a guy whose name, even though I can't believe it, his name pops up like every single year about possibly being traded for. And I never see him leaving Denver. But just what's the longevity? What's the lifespan for Von Miller? And then what's the rest of that defensive line looking like?
No, man, Q, I'm glad you brought that up, because look, every year there are some sort of rumblings created by these accounts. For some reason, they have a blue check mark. I don't understand why, but they're always saying that, okay, look, the Broncos are looking at trading Von Miller. The Broncos organization has said it many, many times. Von Miller is untouchable. They're not going to trade him. He is their franchise player. And I know that a lot of talk circulated a little bit, and Q, you understand this as well, when the Raiders had traded away Khalil Mack. Yeah. Everybody all of a sudden after that was like, okay, the Broncos may look at trading Von Miller. And I know a lot of fans say that, but I think it's very uninformed. Von Miller, despite the fact he didn't have 10 plus sacks in this season in 2019, he actually had one of the most productive years of his career, and he opened up opportunities for other guys. We mentioned Shelby Harris had 6 sacks at the defensive end position. Derek Wolfe had 7 sacks from a defensive end position in a 3-4 style defense, and he also had Jeremiah Tatu having multiple sacks, Malik Reed, Draymond Jones. I mean, these guys were able to create opportunities for themselves because of Von Miller and his selflessness. I mean, this is a guy that sees double teams, triple couple teams. I mean, he gets chipped. If he gets a one-on-one with the tackle, then all of a sudden here comes a fullback or a running back to chip him to prevent him from getting to the quarterback. He commands a lot of respect, and he's training really hard this offseason. I think for him, that defensive line is going to be very nasty. When I go back and I watch the film on the first 4 weeks of the season, Bradley Chubb still in there at an outside backer opposite of Von Miller. I mean, he was playing with so much energy, and especially against the Oakland Raiders game. I mean, he's the one player that stood out to me in that week one matchup queue on Monday Night Football. He was the one player on that defensive side of the ball that day that had a consistently very good day. And through 4 weeks, he also had the same exact productivity and impact. Unfortunately, he tore his ACL, and you know, it's just the woulda, coulda, shoulda game. What would have happened if Bradley Chubb never tore his ACL for Denver in 2019? He comes back in 2020 fully healthy. The Broncos making the decision between Derek Wolf and also Shelby Harris. They also have some young guys that they really like in Draymond Jones, who was a third-round steal from Ohio State for them. DeMarcus Walker, the defensive end position as well. And Mike Purcell at the nose tackle position. But I really do feel like they're set at the outside backers, the defensive ends. I do feel like they need a disruptive guy who's versatile, that can shoot across the gaps in the A and the B gaps very quickly at the defensive tackle position against the pass, to be able to create that pass rush. I don't think they have that yet, and that's going to be a big focus for what they got to do.
And I have a question. I know probably a lot of Charger fans and Raider fans and everyone that's not super linked into the Broncos organization might have, and that is, what happens with Joe Flacco now? You know, they trade the fourth round pick for him, and now he's sitting behind Drew Lock and has a huge salary cap number. What exactly happens now? Do they have any intentions of trading him from anything that you've heard? Is there anyone that would take it? And what is the plan for them to try to get out of that Joe Flacco situation?
Well, right now, the coach speak regarding Joe Flacco is Pat Shurmur said, you know, we'll take a look and see where he's at, say, you know, and kind of analyze his fit within the football team. But I think the expectation is they're going to release him, or they're going to try to find a trade partner. Will they be able to find a trade partner, though? Right now, I look in the NFL, and I don't think there's going to be many teams. We're seeing how the offense has revolutionized. It's changed more mobile quarterbacks being able to throw on the run, get outside the pocket. We don't see too many pocket passers right now in the NFL. That kind of quarterback play is kind of going out the window a little bit, unless it's a quick passing game. I think the Broncos, from what I've been told, they're leaning towards cutting Joe Flacco once the new league year rolls around. There might be a little bit of a salary cap or a dead cap hit that they got to deal with there. But ultimately, it kind of frees them up a little bit, and also Ron Leary as well. So I think that the Broncos are going to part ways with Joe Flacco, and they may look to bring in Case Keenum once again, who was with them a couple years ago as their starting quarterback. They may bring him in as a backup. Obviously, some familiarity there with Pat Shurmur, and obviously Mike Shula as a quarterback's coach can help out. And Case Keenum, I think, sees the writing on the wall. He's an NFL backup quarterback. He's not a starter, and I think he can really help out a guy like Drew Lock. I really think he can. So thank you, gentlemen, for your questions here on today's Locked On AFC West crossover show, analyzing the Denver Broncos from 2019 and an outcast, a little bit of a look ahead to them in 2020. Tomorrow's episode of the show, we're going to dive into the Locked On Raiders podcast. We're going to be diving in about the Raiders 2019 season, where they're heading in 2020, new changes going from Oakland to Las Vegas. And you guys can catch all that action with myself, Cody Rourke, host of Locked On Broncos, Dan of Locked On Chargers, your boy Q, host of Locked On Raiders, and Ryan Tracy of the Locked On Chiefs podcast on tomorrow's episode of the show.